Welcome back, everyone, to the Missing Piece series. We're picking up with episode 6.2, Liberate Your Language. And this one, I think this one is going to be really helpful, especially if you've been, you know, trying to find that balance between setting boundaries and, well, not turning into a fire-breathing dragon. If you haven't already, be sure to check out the previous episode. We kind of laid the groundwork there for understanding assertiveness. Today, we're going to tackle that tricky line between assertiveness and aggression. Because let's face it, sometimes it really feels like you have to get loud to get what you need, right?
Yeah, it's true. That that feeling of needing to be aggressive to even be heard, it's so common. And often it comes from past experiences where you try to be polite, you try to be reasonable, but your needs just get ignored. So imagine, like, you've asked your roommate over and over again to do their dishes, but the sink's still piled high with, like, week-old leftovers, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's frustrating, and you start to think, well, maybe I need to get angry for them to finally listen.
Right. It's like that old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. While that aggressive approach might seem to work, like in the short term, you know, think about the long-term consequences. Do you really want to build relationships where the only way to get your needs met is by, you know, yelling?
Exactly. Not only can that, you know, damage your relationships, but it can also lead to just a whole lot of guilt and regret afterward. I mean, think about it. Have you ever, like, blown up at someone only to feel just terrible about it later?
Oh, yeah.
And that guilt, that can be a powerful trigger for unhealthy behaviors, especially emotional eating.
I've definitely been there. It's like that feeling of, I messed up, so I might as well just eat this whole pint of ice cream. But I guess, why is that? Why do we reach for food when we're feeling, like, those uncomfortable emotions?
Well, food can be, you know, kind of a temporary escape from those feelings. It's a quick fix, a way to just sort of numb ourselves from the discomfort of guilt or shame or even anger. But the key here is that it is temporary. And often it just leads to, you know, more negative emotions in the long run.
It's a vicious cycle. We get angry, then we feel guilty, we eat to soothe those feelings, and then we just feel even worse about ourselves. So it sounds like this pattern can really make things worse. So then how do we know if we've fallen into this trap? What are the red flags that we're mistaking assertiveness for aggression?
I think a good place to start is to look at how you react when you need to stand up for yourself. Like, do you find yourself getting really frustrated or raising your voice a lot to get your point across?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even more than that, how do you feel afterward? Is there a sense of guilt? Like, you maybe overdid it.
Yeah, exactly. And that guilt can be really powerful because it often pushes people toward unhealthy ways of coping. When we're struggling with all those difficult emotions, we look for comfort anywhere we can find it. And a lot of times that comfort comes from food, even if we aren't physically hungry.
Right. It's like you're trying to soothe yourself with something pleasurable, even though it's not really the best choice in the long run. So you have that outburst. Let's say it's with a family member, a friend, a coworker, and afterward you get hit with that waves of guilt. You replay everything in your head thinking, ugh, I shouldn't have said that, or man, I could have handled that so much better. And suddenly you're reaching for a bag of chips or that extra slice of cake when you know you're not even really hungry.
Yeah, it's a super common pattern, and it shows just how important it is to really understand what assertiveness is. True assertiveness, it's not about anger or aggression. It's about expressing your needs clearly and confidently. And it's about respecting yourself and the other person at the same time.
Right. So it's not about pushing down your feelings or pretending they aren't there. Yeah. It's about finding a healthier way, a more productive way to channel those emotions so they don't end up controlling you and making you feel even worse.
Exactly.
So how do we actually start making that shift? How do we move away from anger as our first reaction? Like, what's a more empowering way to approach these situations?
Well, one really effective tool is learning how to use I statements. These are super powerful because you can directly express your feelings and needs without putting the blame on the other person.
Right. So instead of saying, like, you never listen to me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sounds like an attack. You could say, I feel unheard when my ideas are interrupted, and it's important to me that my contributions are valued.
Precisely. You're owning your experience without placing blame. You're doing it in a way that opens up a conversation instead of a confrontation.
Let's give another example. Imagine you're at a party and someone keeps pushing you to eat something you're trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's super sugary, or you have, you know, dietary restrictions. In the past, you might have, like, caved under pressure or snapped at them. But with an I statement, you could say something like, I appreciate the offer, but I'm actually being mindful of what I'm eating right now. It's polite, it's clear, and it sets a boundary without creating, like, drama.
Exactly. And the more you practice using I statements, the more natural they'll become. It's It's like building a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
Okay, I'm starting to like see the power of this, but I have to admit, there are times when those emotions, especially anger, they just feel so intense
Yeah.
that it's hard to even remember what an I statement is, let alone use one effectively.
Right.
Like, what do we do in those moments? How do we stop ourselves from just, blowing up and saying something we'll regret later?
Remember that anger is a natural human emotion. It's okay to feel it, but it doesn't have to control you. You know, it's like you feel that pressure building up inside, like a volcano about to erupt. But here's the thing, you don't have to let it explode. You actually have the power to choose how you respond, even in those really heated moments.
So instead of becoming a human volcano, we can become, what, assertive superheroes. Okay, maybe that's a little cheesy, but you get the idea, right? We can choose a different path, one that, leads to calmer waters and stronger relationships.
Exactly. And one of the most effective tools in your assertive superhero arsenal is the power of the pause.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me that the key to assertive communication is taking a break? I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Okay, think about it. When anger takes over, it's like our rational brain just checks out. We just react impulsively, and we often say or do things that we regret later. But by consciously pausing, even if it's just for a few seconds, you create the space between that initial surge of anger and your response.
It's like hitting the pause button on that emotional roller coaster before it sends you like spiraling out of control.
Precisely. That pause allows you to access your rational brain again, to actually assess the situation, and choose a more thoughtful response. And in that space, you can remind yourself that you don't need aggression to be assertive. Your needs are valid. And, you know, if you're finding those emotions are still building, it's okay to just step away from the situation for a minute. You can say something like, you know, I need a minute to collect my thoughts. Can we talk about this later?
That's smart. Gives you a chance to calm down and then come back and have a more productive conversation.
Exactly. That's the key to mastering assertiveness, responding instead of reacting. When we learn how to manage those big emotions, we break free from that cycle of aggression, the guilt, and the emotional eating.
So instead of getting, caught up in the heat of the moment, I take a step back and I ask myself, okay, what's my goal here? What outcome am I hoping for?
Exactly. Like, let's say you're feeling frustrated because your boss keeps piling on extra work, even though you're already totally swamped. So instead of letting that anger fester and maybe snapping at them, you could take a pause and think, okay, what's my goal? My goal is to have a manageable workload and to feel respected as an employee.
Right. So instead of saying like, hey, stop dumping all this extra work on me, I'm not your workhorse. Which, let's be honest, that's a pretty tempting response in the moment.
Well, yeah, it's certainly understandable.
Oh, for sure.
But by pausing and focusing on your goal, you might say something like, I'm feeling overwhelmed with my current workload. Could we talk about how to prioritize these tasks and maybe delegate some responsibilities?
I like that. That's a great example of how like a pause can completely shift the tone of a conversation. It's still assertive, you're still advocating for your needs,
Yeah.
but it's done in a way that invites, collaboration rather than conflict.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of assertiveness. It's about finding that balance between honoring your own needs and respecting the other person's perspective.
Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Okay, that all sounds good in theory, but what if the other person doesn't respond well?
What if they get defensive or even more aggressive? That's a valid concern. And it is important to remember that, you know, you can't control how other people react. You can only control your own actions and responses.
Right, it's like that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Exactly. You can offer clear, assertive communication, but you can't force someone to be receptive to it. But here's the thing. Even if the other person doesn't immediately change their behavior, you've still accomplished something incredibly important.
You've stood up for yourself, you've honored your own needs, and you've done it in a way that aligns with your values.
And that, my friend, is a huge win. It's a step towards building healthier relationships and a stronger sense of self-worth.
Okay, so we've talked about the power of the pause,
Yeah.
about shifting our focus from, anger to our desired outcome, and about how to communicate those needs assertively. But what about setting boundaries? This can be especially tricky when it comes to like food and eating habits,
You're absolutely right. Food can be a particularly sensitive area. It's often intertwined with, you know, social events, cultural norms, and our own like emotional comfort zones. Plus, let's be honest, food can be incredibly tempting, especially when we're feeling stressed, tired, or emotionally vulnerable.
Oh, tell me about it. I'm a sucker for a good chocolate chip cookie when I'm feeling stressed, but how do we navigate those situations where, we're being pressured to eat something we don't want, or when we're struggling to stick to our own healthy eating goals, when we're surrounded by tempting treats?
Well, the first step is to recognize that you have the right to say no. You have the right to make choices that support your well-being, even if those choices are different from what, what other people are doing. Remember, assertiveness doesn't require this lengthy explanation or dramatic confrontation. You can politely but firmly decline something without feeling obligated to, justify your decision.
So, for example, if someone offers me a second slice of cake and I'm, trying to be mindful of my sugar intake, I could simply say, "Thanks, but I'm good for now."
Exactly. Or if someone keeps pushing you to try something you've already declined, you could reiterate your boundary by saying, "I appreciate the offer, but I'm really trying to stick to my eating plan right now." If you feel comfortable, you could even offer an alternative, like maybe suggest going for a walk or having a cup of tea instead. It's about, finding ways to honor your own needs while still being respectful of others.
Now, what about those situations where you're dealing with someone who's particularly persistent or even, manipulative? Those folks who just won't take no for an answer.
Yeah, that can be tricky. In those cases, it might be helpful to be, a bit more direct and firm in your communication.
Okay, so instead of just saying, "I'm good," I might need to say something like, "I've already said no thank you several times. I'm not going to change my mind, so please respect my decision."
Exactly. Sometimes a gentle no just isn't enough, You need to be a bit more assertive to ensure that your boundaries are being heard and respected. And if the other person continues to push, it's perfectly okay to just disengage from the conversation. You can simply say, "I'm not going to discuss this further," and just walk away. You have the right to protect your own well-being. And that includes setting boundaries with people who aren't respecting your choices.
It's like you're drawing a line in the sand and saying, "This is where my boundary is. I'm not budging."
Precisely. And remember, setting boundaries is not about being rude or controlling. It's about taking care of yourself and communicating your needs in a clear and respectful way.
Now, I know it's one thing to hear all of this and quite another to actually put it into practice. So what's one small step our listeners can take today to start cultivating greater assertiveness? What's one action they can take to start shifting that pattern?
I'd say start by just paying attention to those moments when you feel yourself shrinking back, silencing your voice, or going along with something that you don't truly want. Notice those moments of hesitation, those times when you feel that twinge of discomfort, but you don't speak up. Observing those subtle cues that tell you when your needs aren't being met.
It's about tuning in to those whispers of, "This doesn't feel right," before they turn into shouts of anger and frustration.
Exactly. And once you start to become aware of those moments, you can begin to challenge yourself to take a small step toward assertiveness. Maybe it's simply, stating your preference, voicing a different opinion, or politely declining something that you don't want to do. Start small. Build those assertiveness muscles gradually. And celebrate those victories along the way.
It's like those first steps a baby takes. A little wobbly, a little uncertain, but oh, so full of potential.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, it's okay to make mistakes. Assertiveness is a journey, not a destination. There will be times when you stumble, when you second guess yourself, when you revert back to old patterns. But that's all part of the process. The key is to keep practicing, keep learning, and keep moving forward. And before you know it, you'll be navigating those tricky situations with grace and ease, setting boundaries, communicating your needs, and feeling good about it all. That's the beauty of assertiveness. It opens up a whole new world of possibilities.
So to everyone listening out there, embrace your voice, honor your needs, and keep stepping forward on that journey towards greater assertiveness. You've got this.